from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Heading into the 4 o'clock hour here on Gwynn and Chris. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., victorious in the Fantabulous Sports Game Show once again. Max Scraby, a loser. He is alongside here in the Odyssey Palace. You know, you kind of get on me a little bit sometime in the Fantabulous Game Shows about the categories I pick.
Yeah.
But you have to admit that I've tried a variety of different categories. Maybe today wasn't your best, and it was right up Tony's alley. He is so good on baseball stuff. But Tony's running away from the mic right now. He'll be back in a little bit. But yeah, I didn't expect you to have a good chance to win today. But I just can't. I'm, you know, we've done a lot of topics.
I know. You wasted one when I was out of town.
You really think you could have won that one with the west of the Mississippi?
Just tell everyone what happened in the break with me. You quizzed me.
Oh, right. Yeah, I tried to see if you could come up with the 7 states that were east of the Mississippi.
And I rattled them off
with 2 names
faster than anyone could.
And you got them all. You did very well. All right, well, maybe one day we'll do another geography one. You did lose the first geography one when Tony came up with the country of Hungary and knocked you off in that particular category. So.
That still irks me. Because he guessed Russia as a European country.
And he got it. I think that was the big argument.
Yes, that was the big huge argument.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy that day. All right, we're going to get into some Chris versus the fans. There's usually some controversy during that. If you want to play, dial in 833-288-0973. By the way, quick congratulations to Steve. I believe it was Steve who called in. 11th
Keith.
Caller. Oh, it's Keith. I beg your pardon. I thought it was Steve. Keith, that shows how good the hearing is these days. When Keith comes out as Steve. Anyway, Keith, congratulations. You're going to go see Journey, and you're going to go see Def Leppard. You won the tickets to Petco Park. Now, time for you out there to qualify for today's grand prize. A 2-night stay at the Resorts World Las Vegas and 2 tickets to see Carrie Underwood Reflection. The show is at Resorts World Theater. And by overwhelming demand, Carrie Underwood has extended her Las Vegas residency, which is called Reflection, through spring of 2025. If you want tickets at Resorts World Theater, they're on sale now at AXS.com, Access.com, and RWLasVegas.com. Or you could qualify to win a pair right now by beating me in Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I appreciate the chat now reminiscing about things that Tony said that are incorrect, like Depeche.
Depeche Mode.
For Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Hungary.
One of my neighbors, my neighbor, Diana, her favorite musical group is Depeche Mode. And I tell her that story once
Depeche?
In a while.
Depeche?
Depeche?
How do you guys say this? Depeche?
Yep, not it. Not
all
it.
All right, here are the rules. You have
all
to
of
make
us have our moments. There is no question about
that.
We have
totally
all had our moments.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know before you get into the first question because you'll get that question for free today. And Chris versus the Fans is brought to you by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. All right, let's
you
get
are
started.
Really focused because I've had my hand up for 10 minutes.
Oh, what's up?
I have a question or a note.
Yes.
You told me to remind you yesterday, and I didn't remind you, but I'm reminding you now. You told me a great story about somebody and the first-time player.
Oh, that was actually last week.
It was last week. We never told this on the air, and I think it's worth telling.
It is. Hold on. Let me pull it up in last week's rundown because it is worth telling.
I forgot who the guy's name was, but he was a listener to the show.
Yes.
And
here it is.
Oh, you got it.
T-Roy Green.
Okay, T-Roy, thank you so much. He's a big listener.
Aspiring producers out there, never delete your rundowns because you never know when you're going to need
it. Never know
rundowns.
When you might need it. T-Roy, thank you so much for listening. But his story was great.
Yes,
so tell
here it is. It says, I work in an emergency room here in San Diego in the admitting department. We had a paramedic come in today, and he said, it's my first time here, and I don't know why, but I yelled out, first time player! And I just wrote back like 100 ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
That was awesome.
Because that is hilarious, and I appreciate you telling me about that, T-Roy.
Thank you, T-Roy, and thanks for listening.
And if anybody has stories like that, please send them to me, because I love hearing stories like that. It's hilarious.
Don't get too caught up in the show, though, guys. You are in the emergency admit room. We need you to be alert down there.
But it is first time player! I love it.
That was funny.
Good job remembering.
Very
that,
good.
Chris. We
Very
also
good.
Have to hear the story about Adam Klug's son
putting me in my place last
meeting
night.
Meeting you at the games.
What? He putting me in my place last
Go
night.
Go for it. No,
I'm going to hold up on that one for a minute. All right. Adam Klug's son put me right back to square one.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
He did.
All right, here we go. Question or contestant number one, Raul. Hello, Raul. Raul.
Hey, yes. What's up? Hey. First time player!
On cue, right there.
Going to question number two,
Get
Raul.
Get him to question number two.
Here it is. Name all five of the Olympic ring colors.
My goodness.
Red, green, yellow, black, and blue.
Wow. Nice job.
Did he get it?
He did.
Beautiful, Raul.
That's not an easy question.
No, not an easy question.
Hey, I got my daughter right here.
Good for you.
What's your daughter's name?
Her name is Emma.
All right,
Daddy's got one more for the title.
Yeah, here we go. Question number three.
If you don't mind me asking, how old is Emma, and is she a Carrie Underwood fan? Is that possible?
I'm not sure, but she just turned 9. Her birthday was just last weekend.
All right.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday for sure. She might like a little Carrie Underwood if you get this question right. Let's see.
Yes, here we go.
Here we go.
One player in Brave history played for the Boston Braves, the Milwaukee Braves, and the Atlanta Braves. Which player was this?
Repeat that one more time.
One player in Braves history played for the Boston Braves, the Milwaukee Braves, the Atlanta Braves. Which player was this?
Played for all three teams.
Sorry, say
I don't know. Hank Aaron?
He's going with Aaron. Hank.
Hammering Hank. Stay there.
He's got a chance to win.
Oh, I thought you knew this just by the look on your face.
I don't know it for sure. I think I have a pretty good guess, though.
Okay.
And it's another longtime Brave. And he did get... I know he played in Milwaukee, and I know he hung on long enough to play in Atlanta. I just don't know that he began soon enough to play in Boston, but I'm going to go with Eddie Matthews.
Sorry about that, Raul.
Sorry, Raul. Sorry. Very good, though. Happy birthday to Emma, nonetheless.
Yes.
And you guys definitely play again. Definitely play again.
Absolutely.
All right.
Here we go. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're up next.
What's up?
How are you?
Good. First time player.
First time player. We got two in a row.
I love it. I know.
I love this.
I'm working the phones over here.
Attaboy.
Here we go. Question number two, Nick. In bowling, what number is assigned to the back right pin?
10?
10 is correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nick knows his bowling.
I did not
know
that.
Thus, the 7-10 split. The 7 is in the left corner. The 10 is in the right corner.
No, it makes total sense now.
So now you know.
Never thought about it.
Yeah, well, Nick was on it, so he moves on to the final question.
He does. Question number three, Nick. Here we go.
By the way, you're Brandon Ayuk. On NFL Network, the one that you don't think is going to happen.
All right. If NFL Network is addressing it, then I think there's some smoke there.
Okay.
But it still says have a deal on potential trade.
Okay, you might still have hope to keep him.
All right, here we go, Nick. Question number three. Who was the first Texas Ranger pitcher to throw a perfect game?
Texas Ranger pitcher to throw a perfect game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was one?
Lots of legendary pitchers have come through Texas.
No, there hasn't.
Texas Ranger. I'll say Nolan Ryan, but I don't think that's right.
Nolan Ryan is a great guess anytime you need one of these. The Texas Rangers, I don't even know they had a perfect game.
The Rangers.
Was it the Gambler?
Who's that?
Kenny Rogers.
Nick. Sorry,
I pulled
Nick.
It out. I remembered it.
I love that his name is Kenny Rogers, by the way.
Kenny Rogers, the Gambler. They call him the Gambler.
The Gambler. Yeah. Wow, okay. Well,
sorry about that,
Nick.
This
puts us right back in our place. Here we go. Julie, you're up next. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Hey, Julie.
Hello. Are you ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have you played before?
No, I'm a first-time player.
Well, there you go. You got to make the big pronouncement about that,
yes,
Julie.
Yes, here we go, Julie. Question number two.
You're on to number two.
All right, I'm going to give you some choices here, but in ounces, how much does a hockey puck weigh? Is it 2 ounces, 9 ounces, 11 ounces, or 6 ounces? How much does a hockey puck weigh?
Could you repeat that?
How much does a hockey puck weigh?
That?
Yes. 2 ounces... 9 ounces, 11 ounces, or 6 ounces?
I'd probably say 6 ounces.
6 ounces is correct. I had no idea, but you knew, Julie. That's great. We are going to
Very
question
good,
number
Julie.
Three.
Well done.
We got some good second or first-time players today.
Yes, we do.
Here we go. Question
She's on to the final.
Number three.
Here we go.
Here we
I
go.
I think hockey pucks might weigh a little more once they're frozen.
We're not going down that road.
Okay. No, I'm just saying when they play them, when they use them, they're frozen. But originally, they start at 6 ounces.
I see. So they're a little bit heavier?
Yeah, she got it. She's good.
All right. Here we go. This is a tough one, but it is question number three. What player was the first to have a 50-double, 50-home-run season in baseball? This happened in 1995. First player to have 50 doubles and 50 home runs in one season.
Let's see. 1955, you said, right?
1995.
Let's see. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to play the game. Just stay right there, Julie. I don't know if Chris knows this.
He does. I feel bad for her.
Oh, come on.
I feel bad for her because she's a good contestant. But that was Bad Boy Albert Bell. Cleveland Guardians.
Hey, Julie, please call back
Thanks,
and play
Julie.
Again, okay?
Play again, though. Play again. You were close.
Thank
you were
Thank
close
you.
To the title.
Oh, so polite.
I know. That was a big deal when he did that, 50-50, because very few people in the history of the sport have had 100 total, 100 extra base hits in 1 year. It's very, Really hard thing to do.
Interesting. And I didn't think about it that way.
Albert Bell had a 50-50 year. So
All right.
He did do it.
Let's go to Steve in San Diego. Steve, hello.
Hello.
Are you ready to play, Steve?
I am.
All right, here
we go. I'm a first-time player.
Oh, wow. First-time player. This is first time. I didn't even set this one up. Here we go, Steve. Question number two.
You're over and under.
What'd you say?
Let's do over and under.
Oh, he wants one of those.
That's sorry. That's the tiebreaker.
We're not doing that yet.
Babe Ruth wore the number 3. Why did he wear that number?
Because it was his favorite number.
That's a great answer. That's an amazing answer. It's unfortunately incorrect. Chris, do you know?
Yes. Because he batted 3rd in the lineup.
That's how they used to do it back in the day. I'm sorry, Steve. Thank you for playing.
Sorry, Steve. That's why Lou Gehrig wore number 4, et cetera, et cetera.
Is it evil of me to say it's tiebreaker time?
Oh, Steve just missed his tiebreaker?
Well, I mean, we got to 4:15. I think it's tiebreaker. Give me a player, Chris.
Todd Helton.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of guys that had 100 extra base hits in a season, Todd Helton once had 105.
Okay.
That's a ton of extra base hits.
His baseball reference picture is so weird without the beard.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Arnold in Mira Mesa. Arnold, you're going to be playing the tiebreaker. How are you today?
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Here we go. Chris, how many RBIs did Todd Helton have in his career?
Oh, man, that's a lot. I bet you. 1,700.
1,700. Arnold, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Arnold is correct. Nice job, Arnold. I need to get to the applause.
How many out?
1,400.
Really? 1,406. Not as many as I thought.
No, and you stay right there, Arnold. Let me get your information. If you look at his career, he had 5 straight seasons with over 100 RBIs in those seasons and then never did it again.
Yeah. Todd Helton still had some remarkable numbers.
96, 79, 81.
Couldn't have all been Coors Field, but certainly was better at Coors Field than he was on the road. Finally inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll take a break, check some traffic. When we come back, we've been getting this question a lot today, so I'm going to answer it for you.
What's the question?
The question is, hey, Chris, why doesn't Mike Schilt switch Jake Cronenworth and Jackson Merrill in the batting order?
Thank you.
Since Jackson Merrill's been a whole lot better.
Thank you.
I'll answer it.
And they're both lefties.
I'm still going to answer it.
Okay.
When we come back on Gwen and Chris.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you love Mediterranean food like I do, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine. Both Coronado or La Jolla. Even better if you're headed to the ball game tonight. Spiro's at Petco Park. Right there on the main concourse, third base foul line near the Western Metal Supply Company building. For dining or takeout options, visit SpirosCuisine.com. All right, Padres and Pirates coming up. Pregame show, Sam Levitt, a little after 5:30. That's the EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt. Saw Sam last night running around Petco Park. He's popular.
Oh, yeah.
He is popular. Everybody wants a moment of Sam Levitt's time.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, like, I feel like I should get a few moments of his time. And he doesn't have time for me.
He actually leaves the press box.
He does.
And goes sit somewhere
leaves,
else.
Yeah, he goes and, well, he's wanted all over the ballpark. I don't know how he even keeps track of anything. And then, of course, after the game's over, he's down on the field. He's shooting camera interviews. He's... Mm-hmm. Doing everything, and then it's the Sammy Levitt sprint to the third story of the Western Metal Supply Company building for the post game,
which I've done,
and that is impressive.
Yeah,
from the Padre dugout to the third base side level 3 of the Western Metal Supply Company is a hike.
It is,
and Sam Levitt makes it in. You know, Sam Levitt looks like Tom Cruise rappelling down the building. He's so fast.
He would. I did that one time, and I took the elevator, and I got up to the table, and I was setting up. I was just
drenched in sweat.
Yeah,
that's it.
I don't know how you're
supposed to do a show at that point.
I
asked one of my golfing guys today. They said, "Did you see the Tom Cruise thing?" And one of the other guys said, "No, I didn't see it. Was it stupid?" And my friend said, "Yeah, it was stupid." That was pretty much the whole conversation.
Oh, and
was it stupid? Yeah, it was stupid. So there you go.
I don't know
if it was or not, but there you. That was the
it
rating.
Was whatever.
That was the rating they gave it.
I got crushed in my DMs yesterday for saying that Tom Cruise only made $20 million a movie. And for the record, to all those people who crushed me, I was saying that was his salary for the movie, not what he is taking
home. Oh, yeah,
that's
the low end.
Yeah.
That's the low end.
You think Tom Cruise only makes $20 million? What kind of world do you live in, bro?
Speaking of getting crushed on Twitter and DMs, and then I'll explain why Jackson Merrill is not batting third. Talk to, and I'm always sound like I'm dropping names. But I am. I talked to Mike Winters again last night at the ballgame.
We're old friends now. Mike Winters' best friend.
We're old friends. And he was telling me about how he was called by Sam Levitt after the controversial play Sunday in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on the postgame show.
Yep.
And, you know, then he explained, you know, why the call was made. Mike Winters is a former and National League and Major League Baseball umpire for 20 seasons.
Did some World
pretty
Series.
Pretty good source on this subject. Anyway, he goes, so I went back and I listened to it. And he goes, I was really happy about it. And I kind of posted it on Twitter. And, you know, if you need to hear, here I was on with Sam Levitt, et cetera. Or hey, I don't know if he posted, but he was looking on Twitter and he saw it that Sam posted it. That's what it was. He goes, then I made the mistake of looking at some of the comments.
Oh, don't look at the comments, Mr. Winters.
And because Mike Winters explained why the ruling went against the Padres, he said the comments about him personally, like, made his jaw drop.
It's wild.
He was like, really? This is what people comment and say on Twitter just because I went on and explained the rule?
Yep. And did you tell him yeah?
I did. And I'd like to repeat a few of the things that people wrote about Mike Winters on the comment. It's the FAA will not allow it.
The Federal Aviation Administration?
FCC.
The FCC.
Actually, I don't think the FAA would allow it either. It was that bad.
Well, so he learned a lesson that I learned very long ago, and I still touch the hot stove, which is looking at the comments.
Yeah, just leave the comments
alone. Just leave
alone.
The comments be.
Yeah.
That's a good story, though.
Yeah. Mike did a great job explaining the rule. Not his fault that that's the rule. Mike Winters,
There are still people out there that think the reason the Padres lost that game is because the padding was out of sorts.
I know. Get over it. All right, Jake Cronenworth once again batting third tonight. Jackson Merrill is in the sixth spot. People want to know why. After all, Jackson Merrill's red hot. He's got 17 homers, .289 average, .800 OPS. Cronenworth has been cold. He's got 14 homers, .248 average, .724 OPS. So why don't they flip-flop? They're both left-handed batters. It wouldn't change anything. But it would really change a lot. And here's the answer to the question. They're doing it to protect Jackson Merrill. What Jackson Merrill is doing this year remains incredible. I love it. And it's one of the great stories of the season. But you don't want to mess with something that's working. And the fact of the matter is, Jackson Merrill batting sixth, rather than being elevated to third, just ahead of Manny, right in the middle of the thing. This leaves the pressure off of him to just go do his thing. And as much as I want Jackson Merrill to win Rookie of the Year, and I think he should get it, and you know I think that, the one argument I've heard in favor of Paul Skenes is the fact that Jackson Merrill can just quietly do his thing on the Padres because there's other superstars around him. Whereas Paul Skenes is the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's the whole show. When the train pulls into the station, everybody's there to see Paul Skenes.
Yes.
And he's the everything. All the pressure, all the eyeballs are on him. So he's performing in a different setting. Jackson Merrill, meanwhile, just go do your thing. Remember, he started the season batting ninth.
Yeah, that's true.
Then he went up to eighth. Now he's up to sixth, but it's still much more relaxing to bat there than right in the middle, in the heart, in the three spot where you're expected. And Cronenworth has more experience doing that. And also Jake has shown he can get it done in that spot. He hasn't been getting it done lately. But I think that Mike Schilt is smart not to change them. And let me also say this. If I felt that it was smart to change them, you know darn well I would say so.
Darn tootin'.
But right now, just leave Jackson Merrill alone.
It makes sense.
Don't mess with something like him. Somebody texted into you or chatted in, said, hey, don't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Sandy said that.
Yeah, that's pretty right. That's pretty right. But it's mostly from the Jackson Merrill side. You want to protect him. Let him just do his thing quietly and continue to amaze and astound.
You know, Diesel says something interesting. I don't know if he meant it this way, but Jackson Merrill being where he's at ensures that he comes up in the game at the end of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of being the three spot, he's in the ninth inning instead of the eighth inning.
It has worked out that way, although last night he only got three at-bats. He did not need a fourth. But you're right. It does seem like in the ninth inning, the last week or so, whenever they've been trailing, he's been coming up.
Yep.
And he's done okay.
Done okay.
You know that his WAR now, and you know how I hate WAR.
Yeah,
but his WAR, his WAR is now the same as Jurickson Profar's.
Wow.
So Merrill has gone way up here in the last few weeks, and deservedly so. Coming up, the Big Five. Tony returns to the program. Do not go anywhere. It's 1 hour away from Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal pregame show, Padres Pirates tonight at Petco Park. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris. Time to check traffic here. Get you right into our Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, everything is good in Padres land, but everything is not good in the email inboxes at 97.3 The Fan.
Number five.
So we're going to start with this one, and there was an exchange over email last night between us that I found kind of funny. Our boss Adam sent an email after the Padres game with Jackson Merrill video from pregame talking about Rookie of the Year. Adam says it got stuck in his email and it didn't send until much later, which I totally buy in every sense of the way. Then a few unnamed 97.
If it happened to me, you would have bought it, but not Adam.
I would think it's still in your drafts folder.
Right.
That's what I think it would be. Then a few unnamed 97.3 The Fan host replied to the email saying, "Stop asking him about Rookie of the Year." Now, I think two things can be true here. One, local media may over-ask the question. And two, it's our job on this show to talk about where he is at on a day-to-day basis. So, Tony, when is it appropriate to talk about Jackson Merrill and Rookie of the Year?
I think it's how we're talking about it, right? We're talking about, like, there's a decision coming up here soon. There isn't. There's a quarter of the season left. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I don't think it's necessarily it's not the local media that's here all the time, right? Because those questions are asking for the folks who are here. They don't need to hear the answer again because they've already heard it. But, you know, occasionally, outlets will pop in necessarily on a daily basis, and so sometimes it gets regurgitated. I think the thing that makes this particular situation different is it's kind of been, I don't want to say it's been pushed into the national kind of area, but because of the way Skeens is pitched and the way Jackson has played here as of late, it's become a bigger topic than just local. And so I think we're just getting a lot of it because of kind of all those things kind of combined. But the issue that I think could be had is that we're asking who is the Rookie of the Year. And you just can't answer that question right now. And there's not a such thing as who is the Rookie of the Year right now, because that ain't a thing. Now, when it gets to the end of the season, then we can have the conversation.
Okay. I didn't know if you were done or not. Ben Verlander said, "Everybody stop. Jackson Merrill's Rookie of the Year." I think Ken Rosenthal said that as well. So, Chris, when is it appropriate to talk about Jackson Merrill and Rookie of the Year?
Well, in the case of San Diego, where we have this complex that we are always forgotten and always overlooked.
Somewhat true.
Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But we feel that way. So I guess for us, it's pretty appropriate to be talking about it almost on a daily basis. And if you look at the front of the San Diego Union-Tribune today, the lead story is not about the Padres winning last night. The top story is a column written by Bryce Miller, where he talked to former Rookie of the Year, Fred Lynn, San Diego resident. And Fred Lynn said that Jackson Merrill should hands down be the Rookie of the Year.
Attaboy, Fred.
So, yeah, I agree with Fred. But this is obviously something we must feel like we need to do in San Diego. And I think that where we're mistaking is, like, on this talk show, we're talking about it. In the San Diego Union-Tribune, they're writing about it. But the people in San Diego already think Jackson Merrill should be the Rookie of the Year. Where we really need to get the word out, if we really, really want him to win it, we got to get some sort of national campaign going.
It's
because
starting.
I believe that he has helped start that, and that's the way it should.
Has.
And that's the way it should happen.
Last
it's
night he was on.
It's
MLB
been organic. It's been organic, and I'll say this because I think Chris hit on something that I think is kind of important when we're talking about it. And with all due respect to Fred, who I love, you can't say that it's hands. You know, that's what they were saying literally last month about Paul Skeens. It's hands down. His award to lose. Not even that. It was his award. It's kind of like the Ohtani thing a couple years ago where it was like everybody just kind of, yep, it's his in like June. And now he ran away with it. But I just think that it's a dangerous game to play because, God forbid, Jackson go into a slow start. Or on the flip side, Paul Skeens starts to struggle, right? Then you start to see these things pull away. You know what I think about often? I think about the year Russell Westbrook won the MVP. Up until like the last 2 weeks of the season, it was pretty determined that James Harden, I think, was winning that award. And then Russell Westbrook proceeded to win like a couple crazy games at the end and got his team into the playoffs at the very end of the season. And guess who ended up winning that MVP? It was Russell Westbrook. So you got to let the season play out. I think what everybody should be saying is Jackson Merrill has positioned himself great to win a National League Rookie of the Year. But to say that he should be the Rookie of the Year hands down on August 13th is just not honest.
Yes, but if he doesn't win the Rookie of the Year, we in San Diego are going to be feeling far more slighted than he's going to feel.
That's also true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For
also
sure.
True.
For sure. I mean, he was doing interviews last night on MLB Network with the, what was it, Inside the Game, or those where CeCe and
well, look, Pittsburgh,
Dexter Fowler.
Look, Pittsburgh happens to be in town right now, too.
And their reporters
so
were
the
in
head
the
locker
to the, room.
The head-to-head right. You know, contest is as close as it's going to be. So that's another thing right now that's
yes.
Bringing it into the limelight.
I'm also fighting against the MLB narrative that they want to happen, which is Paul Skeens is a golden child. And he will win everything every time and strike out everyone. So there.
Let me tell you, they don't. MLB doesn't crown golden childs in Pittsburgh. Just want to point that out.
Okay. I don't have any argument, and I need to move on with the conversation we had about Team USA basketball. Is Tony giggling over there? Like he, I got him.
No, I wasn't thinking I got you. Go ahead.
The conversation we had yesterday about Team USA basketball and the pros playing instead of amateurs. The LA Olympics in 2028 are going to be the. We'll have the first time flag football event. Micah Parsons said he wants to train for the Olympics after 2027. We know Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Kyle Juszczyk even has the his resume sent out from the 2022 NFL Pro Bowl since he played in that flag football game. He says he's very good. Baseball's also in the mix, but no announcement has been made about the event yet. Chris, should NFL players be allowed to play flag football in the 2028 Olympics over amateurs?
Yes, because the toothpaste is out the tube and it's all over the counter. So can't stick it back in there now. We've let the pros play basketball. We've let them play hockey. And we basically have turned amateur athletes into pros with the kind of money that a lot of them can make. So I have no problem with this at all. The NFL players want to play. Let them at it.
Tony, should the NFL players be allowed to play instead of amateur players?
Yeah, I think so. I think Chris is right.
It's going to be a beatdown.
The toothpaste
Tyreek
is...
Tyreek Hill against, like, Trinidad and Tobago's corner.
Spread out with everybody's hands. Like, it's, like, pushed. It's not even, like, near the toothpaste. What do you call it?
The tube. Yeah.
It has kind of moved away at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, look.
It's going to be that easy.
Yeah, but the Dream Team dominated, you know, early on in basketball, and then the world caught up. So we'll see if the world can catch up in flag football. But, yeah, they're going to get crushed.
Three. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I guess I'm done.
I'm a weirdo today, guys, as you know. Colin Kaepernick spent 6 seasons in the NFL. Since he last played, the NFL has played 7 seasons without him, and Kaepernick still wants back in. He said, "We're still training, still pushing," he told Sky Sports. So hopefully we just got to get one of these team owners to open up If he does get a chance to play pro football again, what will it mean to him? He said, I mean, it's something I've trained my whole life for. So to be able to step back on the field would be a major moment, a major accomplishment for me. Also, I think it's something that I could bring a lot to a team and help them win a championship, end quote. Tony, who gets a job first, Colin Kaepernick or Trevor Bauer?
Really? I don't think he, I mean.
And the, yeah, at, you're at this, going the way at, I thought you were going to go.
At this point, it'd probably be Trevor Bauer.
Oh.
At this point.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think either of them are going to get one, but Trevor Bauer's younger.
He's closer to have being a player.
Exactly.
He's only a couple years removed as a Kaepernick. Seven years removed.
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Wouldn't his body be spared and he'll just be a machine?
Yeah, but
a machine?
Got, I mean, there's some muscle memory there that, I mean, that I'm sure just doesn't come back after 6 years off. Like, I get it. He's training. And I would, you know, certainly wouldn't be against it, but I just don't see that happen. I see Trevor being given an opportunity before
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Chris?
For those who did not have a major problem with what happened around Colin Kaepernick, they're probably amazed that he hasn't come back yet. For those that did have a problem, a major problem with what happened surrounding Colin Kaepernick, I got to believe even they're a little surprised that at this point we have not been able to move past it and forgive and forget. But we haven't. And so, yeah, I think 7 years is too long. I think Trevor Bauer probably has a better shot, but I'm going to go with neither.
Mm. All right. Colin Kaepernick will forever go down as one of the greatest 49er quarterbacks of all time. Led him to a Super Bowl, set some records.
So. I'm glad you're feeling that way.
You're welcome.
Number two.
If Matt LaFleur gets another question about whether the Packers have a true number one wide receiver, the cleanup crew is going to have a mess to deal with like I did with Lucky the other day. He said, I want to vomit every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we've got a bunch of them, end quote. The Packers didn't actually have a single catch last season by receiver with more than 2 years of NFL experience because everyone is so young on their roster, but Green Bay went on to become the first team since the 1970 AFL-NFL merger to make the playoffs, and the youngest team. Jordan Love managed to throw over 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns in his first full season. Chris, does an NFL team need a true number one wide receiver?
Apparently not. Green Bay Packers were not only in the NFC semifinals last year, they gave the 49ers a run for their money in the NFC semifinals. They destroyed the Cowboys, and they destroyed those. Their wide receivers ran circles around the Cowboys defensive backs who looked clueless to figure out what they were trying to do. I agree with Matt LaFleur. I think he's bringing up a good point here. We think that there is such a thing as a number one wide receiver, but I don't think coaches think that. Whoever's open is the number one wide receiver on the play, and I think that's what NFL coaches and teams are most concerned with. So maybe in the diva world of some wide receivers, and in the when it comes to, you know, money that a lot of them get paid. But yeah, I don't think coaches care about this kind of thing. They want to win the game and get the ball to who's ever open.
Tony, does an NFL team need a true number one wide receiver?
You had to know I was going to make you do that like the whole way through and not try to help.
I'm glad
that you came up with another way to ask the question. Who are we kidding? Like, that's not true. I don't believe Matt LaFleur at all. And here's why. I can go to targets on their team and someone has a lead. That there is the number one wide receiver. Because they're usually open the most, and you're designing the play for them the most. So I get what he's trying to do here. He doesn't want to commit to saying someone's a number one wide receiver. Even on that team last year, someone led the team in receptions, someone led the team in yards. Those are probably your either your best receiver or your top two wide receivers on the team. So I think he might vomit when he hears that question because it forces him to say one way. Did he have a problem calling Davante Adams a number one receiver when he was there? I don't think so. I think he was throwing the ball to him about like an 80% clip. So Yeah, I don't believe him on that.
You know what this tells me? This tells me he doesn't have a good enough wide receiver for number one.
I think he has a lot of guys, and he doesn't want to slight any of them, which I think is an okay thing
for
him to do.
I think that is, too. He should probably go that route.
He's got a bunch of good young wide receivers. He doesn't want to slight anybody and make them feel like they're not number one.
Hey, Matt LaFleur has been a much better coach than I ever gave him a chance
for. We'll see. We'll see about his wide receiver crew this year.
Okay. All right.
Number one.
We talk about the Padres and how they sometimes seem to play down to the level of their opponent. And I know we are talking about one game, but the Yankees were absolutely demolished by the White Sox yesterday, 12-2. The White Sox racked up a season-high 18 hits while scoring those 12 runs. The Yankees fans are pretty angry about this loss because the White Sox have been so bad. And I know, again, it was just one game. But, Tony, how bad of a loss is this for the Yankees?
It's a bad
on a day
loss.
When you have asked mediocre questions at best, this one tops them all.
What?
And I'm just telling you that before he even answers.
Mediocre at best?
It's baseball!
I said again,
you
it's
know,
one game.
But that's the answer to the question. What is left for us to say?
I challenge myself to come up with questions where you guys can't default to, it's only a game. It's one game.
Well, you clearly did not take your own advice on this one.
I'll tell you, it's a terrible loss.
Okay.
It's a horrible loss.
Yesterday it was a terrible loss.
Today it's going to be a terrible loss, too.
Nope, today is just another loss. Just another loss.
You know,
man,
that we would be angry if the Padres lost.
I do, and I would be pulling the little bit of hair I had out if it did happen to us, because everybody would be angry.
The Padres got swept at home by the Rockies this year.
And do you remember what happened with that?
And the fallout was incredible, but what did it all really mean in the grand scheme of things? Baseball is 162 games. There is no way you're going to win more than 70% of those,
such a thing,
even against the worst teams.
There is such a thing as a bad loss, and I said it's one game. You could have just answered, yeah, bad loss.
I won't do that.
Nope.
I'm not giving in to your desire.
Chris knows the game too much to say that it's, you know, it's a horrible loss.
It was. If I was on New York radio, I'd be crushing them right now.
I'm sure they are.
So basically, everybody who walks into Chicago, they should win, period.
I mean, that's kind of how it's been going as of late.
No, clearly not. They got 24 of them, right?
Yes, they. But
so
they've only won two in like the last 25.
They. That's not the question.
All right. I hate when you guys do that to my questions. I sit there and sometimes think for 15, 20 minutes, how can I phrase this so that they can't default to something?
There was no way to phrase that one.
No, there
just
really
was. It was a bad loss. It was a bad loss.
Perfect. You
All
said
right.
it.
Big Five is over. Those are not mediocre questions. When we get back, game two, Padres Pirates. Well, we'll get you set up for it on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.